Good morning, Bridge City Church, North Braddock. How are you doing this morning? So excited to be here with you as we jump into the Christmas season. Amen. Somebody get excited about it. I heard Pastor Tom say, and he got this from somewhere else, but and I'm paraphrasing it, but it should be impossible to not be joyful during the Christmas season because we're celebrating the fact that God saw fit to not leave us in darkness, to not leave us to our own devices. He saw us in the midst of our hurt and our pain and our shame and our guilt and all of even our rejection of him. And he still said, I'm not going to let that keep me from them. I'm going to send my son, born of a virgin, born as a child, to face all of the things that they face, to go through everything that they face, to even face death and overcome it all, so that when they put their faith in him as Lord and Savior, they'll have true victory. So come, let us adore him. Amen? Amen. Well, so excited to be here with you this morning. If we haven't met yet, I'm Pastor John. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church North Braddock. And we are one of four campuses meeting all across the city right now, which we are one church as Bridge City Church, but we are part of the corporate body of Christ, as Pastor Tom so eloquently illustrated. We are the people of God. And it's so exciting to be here with you this morning. And if this is your first time here with us, I want to welcome you. And I just want you to say, we've been expecting you. So we're glad that you're here, and we hope that God ministers to you throughout the rest of this day. I know that he already has, and I just believe it's going to get better before we're all done here. We're kicking off a brand new sermon series this morning called Do You Hear What I Hear? And you'll notice little invitations on your seats around you. And I encourage you to take one. Take as many as you would like and invite your family and friends to come and participate what God is doing here during the Christmas season. But before we get into the message, I'd like to recognize two people who just completed step three of our Next Steps process and have become members of Bridge City Church. And so first, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Don't want to put you on blast, but I'm going to. But Hannah Burns, right there, Hannah. She is in Kristen Taylor's connection group, and she's actually apprenticing with Kristen to become a connection group leader. And so we're very excited about that. And then Kim Morrison, where's Kim? There she is! Kim completed Next Steps. We're so excited to have Kim be a part of the family. And she's still getting into the groove of a team and a group, but we're so excited to have her as a part of the Bridge City Church family, because one of the things that's so important, whether you're a member or not, is we believe in family, like Pastor Tom said. Not just organizational unity, but family. And one of the ways that we do family here at Bridge City is obviously we have our Sunday morning worship gathering, but the real meat and potatoes of who we are as a family happens when we're in a group, a connection group, a small group, and we're on a team of other people using our gifts to serve the kingdom of God. And so that's an exciting part of getting to do what we get to do. And so if you're here and you're like, man, I want to be a part of that too. Well, you're in luck, because today is the first Sunday of the month, and the first and second Sundays of every month, we do our Next Steps process right after the worship experience. And so as soon as we're done in here, we would encourage you to go out these doors of the auditorium, hang a left, and go down this hall to room 102. And there, our Next Steps team, Jace, Gloria, Evan, and Annie, they will meet with you. And Next Steps is basically a way that you learn more about Bridge City Church, but also learn more about your giftings and what God has called you to do and how you can marry what God has designed you to do with what God is doing here at Bridge City Church through church membership. Or you could just say, hey, you know, membership isn't for me at this time, but there's still ways to get plugged into a group and a team. And so I'd encourage you with this invitation to check out Next Steps if you haven't already. It will be well worth your time. And from what I understand, there's also some light refreshments back there. It's usually a pretty good snack. So don't feel like you got to run out and get lunch. They'll take care of you so you don't get a little grumbly in the tumbly. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning, new sermon series. Do you hear what I hear? And as amazing as the whole Christmas season is, I am also well aware of and quite familiar with how unamazing Christmas can be. Growing up in a dysfunctional family and a dysfunctional lifestyle, the holidays were always a source of dysfunction. Before I knew Jesus, and even after I came to know Jesus but never got discipled and was shown my true worth and value in Christ, one of my Christmas practices, heck, every holiday practice, was to go up into my bedroom at my grandmother's house, because that's where we celebrated all of the holidays, with a fifth of vodka, couple of six packs of beer, and drugs of my choice, because I had this amazing gift of destroying every holiday, every family event. I was truly proficient. And so I would go and do that because I didn't want to mess up anybody's Christmas, but guess what? I was still messing up people's Christmas. Because ultimately they wanted to be with me. But nevertheless, I share all that to say, I understand how difficult Christmas can be, how difficult any holiday can be. It's usually then when the memories of our loved ones rise up in our minds and we just think of those who are no longer with us, right? Or we look at everyone else being happy but us not being happy, or everyone else having presents but us not having presents. And so we're also well aware of how tenuous the Christmas season can be. It's a time of uncertainty for many of us. It's a time of fear, of trepidation, of confusion. And as we dive into this sermon series, the question that I have, and that some of you may have come here today to find the answer to, what do I do in times of uncertainty? How do I respond? And one of the things that I believe is paramount to responding well is the question that I would then offer in response to that. What do you hear? What are you listening to? What voices, what screaming cries of guilt and shame or hurt and pain within you or outside of you in the world around you are screaming and clamoring for your attention and causing you then to have what I like to call reverse faith? Because Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing, but good faith comes by hearing the word of God. But if we're listening to things that aren't the word of God, and let's be honest, in our day and age of smartphones and media and all of these other things, it's very easy to hear all of these different voices telling us how bad things are or how bad you are. And so today, we're going to look at that. Because some of you may not know this, but back in 1962, there was this deal going on in the United States called the Cuban Missile Crisis. Just to our southern shore is the nation of Cuba, and the Soviet Union, the Communist Soviet Union, was setting up missile silos in communist Cuba that would be able to launch nuclear missiles that could reach anywhere in the United States. And so the entire nation was gripped with the reality of apocalyptic nuclear death. And so in 1962, a husband and wife couple were commissioned to write a Christmas carol during this time. And rather than writing a carol about hoping in Pentagon or hoping in the military or hoping into the political politician of your choice, they wrote a song which we know today as Do You Hear What I Hear? And the song's intention was to not direct people to a militaristic power or to an economic net, but to Jesus himself. And we may not be facing nuclear crisis in our nation, but there are so many other cultural crises that are happening right now. And the same rings true. We need to direct our attention to Jesus. And so today, as we look at the Christmas story, I always like to put air quotes there because the way I grew up, when you heard the word story, story meant like a fable, fiction. One of the beautiful things about the Christmas story is not just that it is very real and historical, but it has very real people dealing with very real problems and facing very real hopelessness and dire circumstances. But we also see a very real God operating within the midst of it and coordinating and working to do what Romans 8:28 tells us he does, works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I submit for your consideration today that the Christmas story isn't just to make us have the warm and fuzzies during this Yuletide time, but it is to show us how to navigate through the uncertainty, darkness, fear, and confusion, not just of the Christmas season, but of every season that we might face those things in. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke today, chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse 26, and I'm going to read the whole way through to verse 38. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one, but you can also download it on your pocket computer, or you can just direct your attention to the screen. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, Elizabeth is the cousin of one of the main protagonists of the scripture we're about to read, Mary, the mother of Jesus. But Elizabeth is also the wife of a priest who served in the temple named Zechariah. Zechariah and Elizabeth were very old. They were beyond childbearing years, but Elizabeth wasn't able to have a baby. But nevertheless, God met Zechariah while he was serving in the temple and said, "Guess what, bro? You're going to have a son." Well, because that was so shocking for Zechariah, think of it. A priest who served God was shocked that God could do the impossible. So if you're someone who's shocked that God can do the impossible and you struggle to believe, you're in good company, because even God's priests feel that way from time to time. But because he didn't believe what the angel was telling him, he got struck mute. He couldn't talk. And so God caused Elizabeth to get pregnant. Now, unlike Mary, the pregnancy didn't come supernaturally. Old Zechariah had to go into old Elizabeth and do the old 1-2 in faith. We chuckle, but think about that. You're old and it's never worked. You've tried your whole life since you were young and it's never worked, but you still have enough faith to go in and give it one more shot because God said so. That's faith. Because faith isn't just hearing, it's believing and then obeying what you've heard. And this child that they conceived supernaturally, but still through the natural means, became the person that we know as John the Baptist. So when you're reading the Gospels, John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin from around the way. You feel me? But John the Baptist had a very special purpose on his life. He was to be the forerunner of the Christ. He was basically supposed to be the one who was to go out and tell everyone that the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming. I'll show you who he is, but get ready because Messiah's coming. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Now that's important because when you're a virgin, that means you haven't had sex yet. And that's kind of what you need to do to have a baby. So we see that Mary, there's no way that this is something natural that could happen, what we're about to read. We also see there in verse 27, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now, in ancient Israelite culture, an engagement was basically like you're married, right? So it wasn't like you had the opportunity to back out and take the ring back. You were legally bound together, but the husband had to go away and prepare a place so that when the time was right, he could come back and get his wife and take her to the place that he had prepared for her, where they would enjoy life together forever. If you're a Christian, you're a part of the bride of Christ. And I would be remiss to not use this opportunity to remind you that there is a bridegroom who is preparing a place for you and me and all of us who have called upon the name of Jesus right now. And though we wait, not knowing when he'll come back, we can rest assured that because he put a ring on the thing, he's going to come back and take us to be with him where he is forever. Amen. But we see Mary is engaged to Joseph. And Joseph is also a descendant of King David. Now, this is important. If you were here last Sunday, I preached out of 2 Samuel chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, it's where God appears to David and promises David that one of his descendants, a son from his line, would be the Messiah and sit on the eternal throne forever. So it's important to know that Joseph is connected to David because Jesus is going to be that fulfillment of this promise, even though Joseph isn't David's real or even though Joseph isn't Jesus' real dad. So verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman of God, the Lord is with you." Now, a lot of us would like to have an angelic visitation. We say that, but I don't know if you've met or read about angels. They're big, they're bright, they're scary. And because that's how they really are, verse 29 tells us that Mary responds like most of us probably would, confused and disturbed. See, and when we're navigating through uncertain times, we have to remember that sometimes God's response to the uncertainty creates even greater uncertainty. But if we're willing to trust God and not the environment, not the situation, God will use that uncertainty that he's created to well up and create faith inside of us so that we can navigate through the confusion and disturbedness and find the greater reward on the other side. And so, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And this is important because here's the thing. When God presents us with very challenging times or very challenging things, most of us, our natural tendency is to fall back. That's too much. But Mary, when she was presented with it, she didn't fall back. She leaned in. She said, "I'm confused. I'm disturbed. But I'm not going to let that stop me from trying to discern and understand what God wants to do in my life." Because Mary understood that the only way out of darkness and confusion, the only way out of being disturbed, is to lean into God. And so she leans into God. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary." The most noticed words on the mouth of God throughout the entire Holy Scriptures is, "Fear not, do not be afraid." Now that should be very comforting to us, but it also indicates something to us that implicitly that we might not understand. If that's the thing that God says most to us in his word, it's probably because it's the feeling that we feel most often of the time. And so today, my invitation, this message today is, do you hear what I hear? When you're facing trial, when you're facing difficulty, when you're facing confusion and being disturbed, when you're facing lack, when you're facing anger, when you're facing sadness, do you hear, "Do not be afraid"? Do you hear what we will see as we go through this text? You have favor with God. Do you hear, "I am with you"? Do you hear, "Peace on earth and goodwill towards men"? Or do you hear the clamoring voices of all of the other things that the voice of God is trying to split to get through to you, to draw you out to him? She leans into God. "Do not be afraid," the angel says, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." But then Mary does what most of us would do. "But how can this happen?" See, the question isn't ever really with us, "Can God do it?" But God, "How will you do it?" Now, we're going to see Mary gets an answer, but more often than not, God will never tell you the how. Because he knew if you knew the how, you'd get in the way. We look all the way back in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 15, Abraham, again, a husband and a wife who can't have a baby, naturally. And him operating off of a promise from Genesis 12 that said he will have descendants that outnumber the sand on the seashore and the stars in the heaven. But he can't even have one baby with his wife. And so in Genesis 16, it says that his wife, she has a bright idea. We all get bright ideas from time to time. Fun fact, your ideas are not better than God's. So she says, well, you know what? I'm going to help God out a little bit. Because clearly he needs my help. The only time we think God needs our help is because God isn't doing what we want him to do or when we want him to do it. So I'm going to take my servant Hagar. And I'm going to give her over to my husband. Ladies, please. Could you imagine that Springer episode? Maury Povich pulling out the results. But see, what happened is Hagar goes in to Abraham. They have a baby named Ishmael, and Ishmael becomes Abraham's son, but he's not the son of promise.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's the Ishmaelites that are constantly functioning against the people that flowed from Isaac through whom the promise is reckoned. And so when we try to help God out, we just create generational problems in our life. But Mary says, how will this be? Because I am a virgin. And that's a loaded, packed statement there, because it wasn't just about, well, how can I get pregnant? Because she says, I have not known a man, which is just a very nice way of I haven't had sex. But it's because Mary is fully aware of the reality that in her culture, a woman who gets pregnant without being married is an adulteress and could be stoned to death under capital punishment. See, and there are times when God speaks to us in our darkness, things that not only seem impossible, but create even greater fear and consternation. But we have to wrestle with the reality, do we want safety or do we want God's best? Can we trust that even if for a season, 1 Peter says to the believers he's writing to in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says, even for a little while, you have had to suffer afflictions of many kinds. See, because on the other side of the cross is the crown. On the other side of suffering is substance. And God wants to call us into this. And so Mary is asking questions, and the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Here's another reason why I feel like people don't want God operating in their life, even if it's on a subconscious level. You don't want to be overshadowed. You want credit when it all works out, or you want it to be your way. But if you could today hear the word of the Lord and allow him to overshadow you today, can I just give you, get out of the driver's seat. Hop into the back and let the Holy Ghost Uber this thing, because you just keep wrecking the car. You've been driving, some of you have been driving through your whole life, and you can't hear the word of the Lord because all you hear is recalculating, recalculating. Make a U-turn. And so the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. See, the thing that God wants to do in your life, he doesn't want you meddling with it because he wants it to be holy. He wants it to be holy and pure. And he will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, what's more? Your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. God always confirms his word with signs following. He says, you don't have to take my word for it. Your old cousin is pregnant. People used to say she was barren. Oh, I love the used to's of God. They used to say I was messed up. They used to say I was a drug addict. They used to say I can't get right. They used to say I'll never amount to anything but God. I love the used to's of God. People used to say she was barren, but now they know better. But she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of the Lord will never fail. Look how Mary responds. This has to be our response. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Not the things that I like, not the things that I understand, not the things that I want to do, not the things that are comfortable, but everything you have said about me, let it come to pass. Because I'm just your servant. I'm just your servant. See, this is why I love the scriptures. Because it's real people in real time facing real problems, but all being carried by a very real God. Because not only is Mary a virgin, she's probably between the ages of 13 and 15 years old right now. Could you imagine? You want to talk about pressure? You're under pressure? You want to talk about pressure? You're a 13 to 15-year-old girl who is being told by God through his angel. Not just God. You're talking to an angel. That, hey, you're going to get pregnant out of wedlock. And could be stoned to death. Oh, and don't worry, it's going to be God's baby. You're just going to be responsible for all of the prenatal care for the Son of God. No pressure, Mary. You got this, girl. See, I don't know what kind of pressure you're under right now, but I'd be surprised if you aren't under some. And if you're not under some right now, you might be under some soon. But don't let the pressure cause you to fall back. Allow the pressure to push you deeper into God. I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. Unexpected pregnancy. Unwanted pregnancy. How am I going to deal with this? That's literally what this story is. I don't know if you've ever caught that. This is a story of an unwed pregnant teenager who leaned into God and trusted him to bring forth life into the world. And not just the life of a baby, but life himself. Because John 1:4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of man. What might God want to birth through you this holiday season if you're willing to lean into the pressure and let him squeeze it out? See, because every time we have to make a decision of faith, we're faced with a challenge and a choice. Right now, whatever pressure you're under, whatever pressure you face tomorrow or the next day or next week or next year, whenever it is, you are always faced with a challenge and a choice. The challenge actually isn't what you're facing. The challenge is, will you hear God's voice in the midst of it? And will you discern and determine that it's his voice and then choose to believe and do what God is saying to do in that moment? And sometimes it might just be as simple, do not be afraid. But I got to get myself out of it. You don't be afraid. God says, I'll get you out of it. Will you hear, believe, and obey? Will you hear, believe, and obey? Because here's the reality. Some of us will never see our lives change until the pain of staying the same becomes more than the pain of taking a step of faith. It's scary out here. But you know what it feels like to stay here. What if you step out onto the water and trust God? See, because here's something else this story shows us. There's a lot of us. How many of you have ever done this? God, just give me a clear sign. Just show me. It doesn't get any clearer than an angel showing up. And Mary's still like, how's this going to be? See, sometimes the clear sign can be the thing that causes the fear and the confusion. But you need to fast forward and say, may it be unto me as you have said, for I am your servant. We fast forward because you know what? It's difficult navigating through these things by ourselves. And that's one thing, our culture. We live in America, we live in what's called an individualistic culture, right? I need my personal space. My thoughts are my own. I'm the master and captain of my own life. Most of the world lives in a collectivistic culture, and that's what this culture was. And so they didn't have a problem with this. But because we live in this individualistic culture, you know what it does? It forces us into isolation when we're confused and afraid. Lions love to hunt by isolating people from the pack. And the scripture says that the enemy roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so God doesn't just appear to us and say things to us. He puts people in our paths, signposts and landmarks, testimonies and testifiers, mothers and fathers in the faith, brothers and sisters in the faith to help walk us through. And so when we hear God, we need to move into a place where we're receiving confirmation and comfort from those who have gone before us. And so verse 39 says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. I want you to catch something here. Mary heard a word from God, and this is how you're to process a word from God. Here's how you're to process it. You go to someone to find confirmation and comfort, and that someone needs to be older, wiser, further down the road than you, and full of the Holy Spirit. Don't go to Facebook. No one can help you there. There is no help there. Actually, there's more confusion and being disturbed there, but I digress. See, in God, look around this room like Pastor Tom said. I love you. You should be turning around. You are in a room full of people. There are people in this room who are older and wiser and further down the road and full of the Holy Spirit. And when God is navigating you through confusion and being disturbed, He puts you in a place where you can have people alongside of you that will help you walk it through. And Mary didn't wait for this instruction. She knew it intuitively. She said, I got a word from God. Let me go to someone who's older, wiser, 6 months down the road, and full of the Holy Spirit. Because it says in verse 41, at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry. I think she just had a praise break. That's what I think happened. She said, oh, glory. She was like old church mother. She said, oh, glory, Jesus, hallelujah, Mary. Woo! She got out that fan, come on, with the popsicle stick. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She had the fan. She said, oh, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. See, you need to have people in your life that in the midst of confusion, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of stress and anger and pain and sorrow, who can sift through it all and say, you are blessed. God loves you. You got to have them. You got to have them. She says, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord will visit me? So she's not just giving affirmation. She's giving prophetic confirmation. Oh, my God. See, some of you just want somebody to tell you everything's going to be okay, pat you on the back. But you need someone to speak prophetically into your life. Elizabeth prophetically confirms the word that Mary just had so that Mary could continue to walk in the comfort and security that what God said was true was going to be true. Because here's the thing a lot of us miss when we read the scriptures. Mary still had 9 more months to go. She still had 9 more months of false labor pains, of morning sickness, of all the ladies at the supermarket saying, look at that hoe. That's what they said. And don't act like it's so bad that you can't hear it in here, but all y'all listen to it all out there. That's what they said to her. They looked at her and said, look at that skilly-wop bopping around on the lot. Look at me. Mary had to walk through so much, and she needed someone in her life so that when she came home broken, I don't know how it's going to work. Did I really hear from God? Is this really what God wants me to do? She said, baby, not only do I love you, but he loves you, but God said this is his word to you today. You need to have it. That's why your friends on Facebook can't help you. That's why your unsaved friends can't save you. That's why your unspiritual friends can't help you. Go in every carnal voice you can hear when you need a spiritual confirmation of the prophetic word spoken over your life. You gotta have it. You gotta have it. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord would visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. So you need to find people to get around that the Holy Spirit in them leaps when you get around. Esta mi gente. My people. But then look at what she says. Look at what she says. This is the most important verse of this text. You are blessed. See, and we want people to just stop there. We just want people to tell us we're blessed. But no. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. That's what brings blessing into your life. When you hear the word of the Lord, you believe it, and then you act on that word in faith, then you are blessed. Because God wants to confirm what he said to you through other people who are older, wiser, further down the road, and full of the Holy Spirit, so that you can find comfort. Because the reality of it is, the road to the end of the promise is hard. I'm tired of the American church preaching an easy faith. Because it lures people in under false pretenses. And then when all hell breaks loose, they become the seed sown on rocky soil that withers up at the first sign of persecution because they had no root, no deep root within themselves. But I want to preach a faith that doesn't say God's going to get me out of trouble, but God is going to jump into trouble with me and ride it out with me, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. And so today, maybe that's what you needed this Christmas season. Maybe instead of presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, what you really needed was presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. You needed Emmanuel, God with you. You didn't need a way out, you needed him to jump in. Oh my God. You needed to hear the word of the Lord this morning, so that you could respond, so that you could believe. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated my birthday, my 45th birthday. Thank you to all of you who got me nothing. I love you and I will remember you. I'm just kidding. I'm not a fan of my birthday. And the reason is because, just like all the other holidays in my life, my birthday was horrible. Spent a birthday in jail. Actually happened to be the same time I got saved. I spent a birthday being chased by a man with an axe. It's real talk. I spent a birthday sleeping under a car because the car broke down and I was so drunk, I was worried that if they found me in the car, the police came by and found me in the car, they'd arrest me for DUI and all the drugs I had on me. Say, well, why do I share all that? Because no matter what you're going through, you're amongst people that know what it's like to navigate through difficulty, but trust in God to see their way through. And there's so many stories in this play. In times of uncertainty, go back to what you know and trust the voices that have been proven that they can be trusted. That's what we do. You know, I'm going to have the worship team come up and just play something softly, but maybe Caden could just come up and jump on the keys, but, you know, I don't have time to go into the shepherds. I'd love to, but the fun fact about the shepherds is they actually go through the same process that Mary does. They're out in the field working on Christmas Eve. Talk about a crappy job. In the midst of darkness. And the angels didn't go to the temple. The angels didn't go to the priests. The angels went to the lowest of the low, the shepherds, to announce that Jesus had been born in the earth. And just like Mary, the Bible says that the shepherds were sore afraid. But they didn't fall back from what the angel was saying. They leaned into and they began to try to determine what this greeting could mean. And then together, because they weren't alone, this Christmas season, if you're in this room, you are not alone. You are a part of a family. And I don't care if this is your first time here or your 150,000th first time here. You are not alone. Not only is God with you, but we are with you. But just like Mary had to go find Elizabeth, there are times when we have to be brave enough and courageous enough not to wait for someone to come to where we are, RSVP to our pity party, but to be brave enough and courageous enough to say, I need to go and find my family. I need to go and find people. I need to go and get around them. And I know how hard it is to trust. I know how hard it is to put your life in the hands of someone else and believe that they won't hurt you like everyone else. But I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning that if you're in this place under the sound of my voice, you are in a place where you can entrust yourself to people who will care for you, people who are older, people who are wiser, people who are a little bit further down the road, and people who are full of the Holy Spirit. Because if you've got all of those other things, but not the Holy Spirit, you can't provide the comfort that is necessary unless you have the Comforter himself inhabiting within you. And maybe you're here today and you're just looking for something, looking for a reason to believe that everything is not bad and something might get better and someone might love me and someone might care. Today you have heard the word of the Lord. Will you believe? Will you believe? And then if you're brave enough and courageous enough to believe, will you obey? Well, obey what? Obey getting connected to some of these people that are around you. Whether that's going to Connection Point or seeking someone out, I can point them out to you if you want. They're all over this room. You trip over one trying to find them. Will you obey? Will you shut down the voices of the world and hear what I hear? The voice of heaven speaking, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men, all people, everyone with whom his favor rests. There is not a qualifier for God's favor other than being a human. That's what it says. Maybe you went to churches where people told you, well, unless you're saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, God's favor can't be on your life. I rebuke that lie. Send it back to the pit of hell. But I will tell you this. If you reject God, you reject favor. And so the shepherds, they had some business to do within their own hearts and with each other. Do we believe this or do we go and see? Spoiler alert, they went and saw. The Bible says they were astonished, they were full of joy, and what they saw was so amazing they had to go and tell other people. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here right now and you do not have a day or a time where you have received Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, your Lord and your Savior. You have heard the word that says he is the Son of the Most High God. He sits on the eternal throne. His kingdom will have no end. He is holy. He's born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death for all of us who are sinners so that we could enjoy the fullness of his favor. that Jesus, if you say, I want that Jesus in my life, this holiday season and every moment of every day of the rest of my life, I want that Jesus right now. I want to receive Jesus right now. I just want you to stick your hand up and just hold it up. Just hold it up. Amen. Just hold it up. Because someone's going to come in and chat with you more about what that looks like. And guess what? That's going to be the person or one of the people who's going to be older, wiser, further down the road, and full of the Holy Spirit that you can connect with. And then they'll help connect you with other people. And before you know it, you're going to be sitting at the table at family dinner here with God. But maybe you're here today and you say, I've kind of wandered off. I strayed off. I need to get back into the Father's house. I want to give an opportunity for you right now to say, you know what? I need to get right with God. I need to make a public kind of statement to get right with God. And so if that's you, just stick your hand up. Just say, I just need to get right with God right now. I need someone to pray with me. I need someone to help me. I need someone to just come alongside of me and say, I got to get right with God. Throw their arm around my neck. And not just tell me that everything's going to be okay, but tell me that I'm blessed because I believed. Remind me that I'm blessed because I believe. Amen. And if you're one of those people that aren't in either of those groups, that means you're like the shepherd. You heard, you believed, you obeyed, and now it's your job to take this little card that's on your seat and go and tell somebody else about what you've seen and heard. What the shepherds did. You can read it on your own. I'm sorry I didn't get to it. You go to your coworkers, you go to your friends, you go to your neighbors, you go to the strangers on the street. And when you go to strangers, don't be strange. I'm just saying. But you could say something like, hey, maybe the Holy Spirit will even help you to see that they're going through it. And he'll use you prophetically to say like, hey, I just feel like God is saying, you've been going through a lot right now. I want to let you know that God loves you, has a plan for your life, and I'd like to invite you to my church where you can hear more so that you can hear what I hear. Because I've had so many people in my life, they say, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with all of the difficulty, the pain, the accusations, whatever the case may be? It's just like, I hear something different. I hear, do not be afraid. You're blessed and highly favored. I hear, I am with you. I hear that God has a plan for my life. And so I operate in what I hear from heaven, not what I hear from within here or what I hear out here. Man, this is going to be the greatest Christmas season you've ever had. I just want to say that prophetically right now. This is going to be the best Christmas season you've ever had. And I want to qualify that by this. That doesn't mean that you won't go through hell on earth to get there. Because we'll hear, oh, it's supposed, the Lord said it's going to be the blessed, but everything's falling apart. That's what happened for Mary. But she said, may it be unto me as you have spoken. I am the Lord's servant. But I just wanted to, this is going to be the best Christmas you've ever had. Because you're going to be blessed because you believed. Pastor Tom, would you come up and let us know some of the amazing things that are happening here. But thank you. Thank you so much for being with us here this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Church, can we give it up for Pastor John?